relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
So we came up with the 3C questions we were going to ask every single witness. Do you have any evidence or information that the Trump campaign colluded, conspired, or coordinated with any member of the Russian government, with any member of the Trump campaign or Trump presidency? And all 65 witnesses under oath said no to every question. We had to ask that because they were saying it in the media that that happened. So these principals were the ones who would have to know that. And if they answered yes, we'd have to report that to the public. And they couldn't just answer a simple question of, where's the dirt?
Where's the dirt? Well, we've got the dirt now, but it's not on the Trump campaign. It's not on President Trump. But it is the biggest political scandal of the modern age. And that man, one of the stars of the book and the movie, The Plot Against the President, former chief investigator for the Intelligence Committee of Congress and also former chief of staff in the Pentagon, is with us right now, one-on-one. Kash Patel, welcome back to America First.
Seb, thanks so much for having me. I'm not sure there's enough time on planet Earth to discuss this large-scale criminal conspiracy, but we'll give it a go.
Yeah, it's the second you touch upon any of this, whether it's the false Russia collusion narrative or whether it's Operation Crossfire Hurricane, the first ever tri-agency targeting of a political campaign, or whether it's the unmaskings, you pull one thread, Kash, and you've gone down the rabbit hole.
All the way down, basically through the middle of the earth and out the other side. So, well, I can't wait to dive in.
All right, so let's... I'm going to dispense with who you are. If you've been listening to America First, you know who this guy is. I'm just going to say one thing. He's the scourge of the swamp. The corrupt swamp detests him. Those are his credentials. He doesn't need anything more. Check out his website, fightwithcash.com, and let's get down to business. Okay, so as a former... What was your title? Give us your title at DOJ. What were you before you went into Congress and worked for Devin Nunes?
Yeah, I was a terrorism prosecutor in the National Security Division at Department of Justice, and then I was the Department of Justice liaison to Joint Special Operations Command working on global targeting operations. So
now, all that sounds... Just that one thing is so cool. He's the guy at DOJ working with the trigger pullers at SOCOM to take down the HVTs, the high-value targets. That's who this man is. Okay, so credentials, got him. Let's talk about the recent massive drop on a Super Bowl Friday from the Durham investigation. Let's remind everybody, former U.S. Attorney for Connecticut, John Durham, was made by the Trump administration, by then AG Barr, special counsel, special prosecutor in the layman's terms, to find out where the Russia collusion hoax began. So who generated this at the beginning? And he's been working, to put it charitably, rather diligently, others will say at a glacial pace, but he dropped not an indictment. This isn't some big, scary indictment. There was a court document which was termed a memorandum to the original indictment about conflict of interests. Kind of like, oh, boring, your lawyer has a conflict of interest. Not so fast. You get to page 3 of this memo to the court, and it has to do with the former DOJ attorney, Michael Sussman, who was working for Perkins Coie, the lawyers hired by Hillary Clinton's campaign, along with another client, a tech executive number one, okay, we know who it is, to basically gin up a smear campaign against the president. On page 2 of this memo, I'm just going to read it so people have the primary source material. The government's evidence at trial will establish that among the internet data tech executive and his associates exploited a domain name system internet traffic pertaining to, one, a particular healthcare provider, That's fascinating. We don't know why that is, why they were targeting information about a certain healthcare company. Number two, these private actors were targeting Trump Tower, which is not only the headquarters of the president's company, but also the headquarters of his campaign. Number three, Donald Trump's Central Park West apartment building, so where he sleeps. And then, and this is the bombshell number one of two. The fourth target of these private actors was the executive office of the president of the United States. For those who don't live in the swamp, the EOP is actually the government jargon for the White House. It's where the National Security Council is. It's where, if you work for the president, you have offices. So that's bombshell number one, that these individuals were spying on President Trump, his home, and on the White House. And then in the next sentence, this is one that everybody misses, Cash. And this is where I need your help for our millions of listeners to unpack the significance of this nuclear bombshell. Tech executive number one's employer had come to access and maintain dedicated servers for the EOP, the White House, as part of a, quote, sensitive arrangement whereby it provided services to the White House. Cash Patel, can you explain to laymen and women what sensitive arrangements mean in the U.S. government?
It's no shock that you keyed in on that, Seb, and I think that's actually the bigger bombshell than just the political campaign spying on a White House, as shocking as that is. And the sensitive arrangement quote is the one that everybody needs to focus on. Look, as you know from your time in the IC and my time in the intelligence community, the White House is the most secure compound on planet Earth. You either have to find a sophisticated hacker to try and attempt to even do that, and there's really no hacker in the world that can, or the only other way in is through the intelligence community and the NSA.
So you get a back door as a quote-unquote contractor providing services, and then you get the keys to the kingdom.
And the shocking part about that, Seb, is that while President Trump was in office at the White House, his own National Security Agency and or intelligence community went out and contracted with a political operative, the tech executive that you're talking about, who was hired by the Hillary Clinton campaign through the now indicted Michael Sussman, their lawyer. So the fact that they actually went out and gave a contract and paid this individual money to have access into the White House servers is not only shocking, but criminal. But the bigger question, Seb, is who are the people that gave this contract in the first place? Was it the director of the NSA back then? Was it the intelligence community? Where did the money come from? And did they know, or are they going to be like the FBI and the whole Steele dossier thing? Oh, we didn't know it was a hoax. We didn't know it was a political operation. We didn't know anything. We just gave this random tech guy full access to the White House. It's insane. Obviously, John Durham is on the case, thankfully, to help us answer those questions. And I think we're going to get some of those answers soon in more of these pleadings, as you alluded to earlier.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I heard you talk about all of this on our buddy Dan Bongino's show, who's written some really seminal books on the topic of the Russia hoax. Look, I still have my TS clearance. I'm sure you do. So there are certain limitations on what we can say in public. But two things you discussed and others have talked about, the CIA's targeting. Dan discussed yesterday the CIA targeting of President Trump and his colleagues, which would be illegal. I mean, it's a U.S. citizen on U.S. soil. I was told when I was in the White House by a former CIA station chief that there was a group of four contractors, so civilian contractors to the NSA, who were targeted, who were told to target me, Steve Bannon, and others. Are either of those things on the right track? What have you heard? What can you talk about?
I haven't heard about that specifically, but Seb, we do still have our clearances, but the one advantage of now being out of government and not having access to the intelligence that John Durham is talking about is we can say based on experience what we think happened, and as you and I know, that probably means that's what happened. The fact that they obtained an operation to get a contract with the intelligence community is one also unheard of, to gain access to a White House. And you know why they did it, Seb? They could have tried to go in and hack it like they did with the other operations they were running, but they knew that someday they might get caught. So what they wanted to be able to do was come out and say, oh, it's above board. We got a government contract from the intelligence community to allow us to spy on President Trump. So that's okay. So now we're good. And that's exactly what Don Durham is calling them out for.
Right. So this is the pay dirt. This is the gold, and this is why cash is on America First 101. What we're saying here is the bank robbers know that they're going to rob the bank. So what do? They manage to get the crooked senior vice president of the bank to give them a, quote, contract to transport gold and cash, okay? And it just happens to disappear, right? So this is a bank manager giving the bank robbers a cover to actually do their illegal activity. That's what this man is talking about. Okay, I've got a million questions written here. We're going to get to them. If you want to get unfettered access to this kind of gold, this solid gold, you have got to subscribe to the podcast right now. Go to wherever you get your podcasts, like Spotify. Look for my name, Sebastian Gorka, America First, and subscribe today. You do not want to miss a single episode, especially given what is happening in our nation right now. Dear friends, I hope you have already done so. We have our dates. We are going to the Holy Land. They tried to cancel us last year with the China virus, but this time it's for real. We are going November and December for 10 days to walk where our Lord and Savior walked the earth. Join us for the trip of a lifetime with my colleague Dinesh D'Souza and his lovely wife Debbie. Even if you've been to Israel, you haven't been with me and Dinesh. You know you want to join us. You want to blow away those COVID blues. Reserve your tickets right now. Call 855-565-5519. That's 855-565-5519. Or just go to standwithisraeltour.com. That's standwithisraeltour.com. Mike Lindell has a true passion to help everyone get the best sleep of their lives. Therefore, he created the Giza Dream bed sheets. They look and feel incredible, which translates to an even better night's sleep for you. Mike's latest amazing deal is the sale of the year. For a limited time, you will receive 60% off the Giza Dream sheets that come with a 60-day money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. You'll receive a full set for as low as $39.99. And for a limited time, with any purchase, you'll receive Mike's soft cover book free when you use promo code GORKA. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener square, and use promo code GORKA. Along with this offer, you'll also get deep, deep discounts on all his MyPillow products, including the MyPillow mattress topper, MyPillow towel sets, and so much more. Call 800-829-8468, promo code GORKA. Just go to MyPillow.com, promo code GORKA. I want to move. I mean, I've got such a long list of things I want to ask you. I feel like I need to move on to the next thing, Cash. But do you want to expand upon what we've just discussed in the Sussman additional memo? Are there other things people need to understand that they may be missing before I move on? I just want to give you that opportunity.
I think we hit. Let me look at something real quick. I think what's worth covering, Seb, and most people have missed this. A, that this was happening, that at the same time they orchestrated the dossier, they got caught orchestrating this back in July of 2016. And B, they used the same tech executive that they paid to conjure up the Alpha Bank series that they peddled to the FBI and CIA. It's the same one that got the contract to hack the White House.
Right, right. So let's be clear. I'm trying to look up his name right now. The tech executive was...
Rodney Joffe.
Yeah, Rodney Joffe. Rodney Joffe is the individual. So, again, this is another angle. So, first, we've got the attempt to subvert the election by peddling, I think it was 8-year-old smeared accusations about Paul Manafort that had already been written in the Washington Post almost a decade ago, repackaging them through this former MI6 agent that turned into the Steele dossier, to use that to try and subvert the election by lying about the candidate Trump. And then at the same time, we have what? We have the lawyers, Perkins Coie, we have Sussman, who for some reason, how does a former DOJ individual just get to walk into the FBI and talk to the chief counsel of the FBI? How does that happen? I'm a former deputy assistant to the president. I don't think I could walk into the FBI and say, hey, I'm a good citizen. I want to tell you about this guy, Trump. Can I meet with your chief counsel? Does that happen in the real world?
Not in the real world you and I live in, but it happens in their in theirs because they think they can get away with it and the rules are different. For an individual to walk into the general counsel, the number one lawyer of the FBI, you have to actually be doing, you know, the work of the government, which is what they're supposed to be doing, or have a chummy relationship and know that you're going in for something that they have a political alignment on and that they shouldn't be working on in the first place. And that's exactly what happened here. Sussman, a DOJ guy, calls his buddy, James Baker, and says, I've got something for you. You got to hear me out. And of course, he gets a meeting within, what, a day? And that would never happen on any other planet.
All right, so here's the big question. I was going to say it to the end, but I have to ask you now because I need a sanity check, because I've got people I trust who I consider friends, like the former U.S. attorney for the District of Columbia, former special prosecutor himself, Joe DiGenova, and I've got former, you know, career counterintelligence professionals for the U.S. Army, like Chris Farrell, and I ask these people about Durham, and I get two conflicting reports. And I want to know what your gut is telling you, Kash Patel, as somebody who's prosecuted terrorists, who's worked on the Hill, who's been chief of staff in the Pentagon for the president. Is this what we've witnessed? How long has he been working? 2 years? Are the 2 years of John Durham's investigation just incredibly meticulous work, and at some point a massive hammer is going to fall on the real guilty parties like Comey, like Brennan? Or is it just, you know, the glacial moving like molasses, and then one penny ante little peon lawyer at the FBI gets charged a few months ago with a crime that you and I would be sitting in a federal penitentiary right now, which is forging a CIA document. He's done his community service, and the DC bar has let him back in to his practice as a lawyer. Does that mean that Durham's just wasting our money? What does your gut tell you, Cash?
So, look, it's the former, and let me tell you why. Wow. I think, and I've said this repeatedly, John Durham is marching towards a number of indictments, and my timeline is for later this summer. But let me tell you why. Look, I put together the most complex international terrorism cases as a federal prosecutor. They took me 3, 4, and 5 years to put those together. And before I got to the X, before I got to the indictment to say, bang, go. And that was just maybe one or two terrorists at a time. John Durham is working on the largest criminal enterprise ever perpetuated in U.S. history. And he's got an army of, what, 5 people? I had the whole Department of Justice, the FBI, the intelligence community when I was putting together my cases. He's got 5 people he can trust, maybe 2 investigators he can trust. That's it. And his pleadings demonstrate to us that he is moving in that fashion. He's put 24 people in a grand jury, as he told us. He has indicted the FBI's lawyer, the Hillary Clinton's campaign's lawyer, and the source for the Steele dossier. And he's meticulously laid out who else he's investigating, the likes of Jake Sullivan and Fusion GPS. And he specifically stated that his investigations into those people he's already indicted is not over. There could be more criminal conduct that he's looking at. Which means John Durham is the style of prosecutor that says if he puts something in writing, in a pleading in federal court, it means he's already proved it. Otherwise, he wouldn't put it there. And that's why I think for those reasons, he's marching methodically and slowly. And I know, I wish it moved faster, but it just can't for the case that he's got to unfold.
How significant is it, given the absolute deluge of leaks from the Mueller probe and everything else that was run by Obama holdovers at DOJ? How significant is it, Kash Patel, in your experience in the swamp, that nothing is leaking out of Durham's office?
And you're spot on. And nobody's talking about that. Not one leak, Seb. Not one leak of one name, of one color of a car, of $1 cent here or there. And the reason he's able to do that is because he's got a team that's so small as special counsel that doesn't talk to anyone. And this is what John Durham did when he was the basically the special counsel for the CIA's rendition program. Everyone hated him. Everyone didn't want him to do it. But he went in there, methodically did the work at the Department of Justice. And at the end, he put out a report and prosecutions that were upheld by not just the law, but the facts. I think he's doing the same thing here. And so that's why you don't see leaks. And the fact that nobody's talking about him not leaking is, I think, frustrating, not you and me, but frustrating the mainstream media.
And I have to say, this is a guy who's put feds in prison. I mean, you know, John Durham has put crooked FBI agents behind bars. And it's also telling that of late, Hillary and Comey have been rather absent. They haven't been as vocally as they have in the past, right, Cash?
Yeah, is Comey hiding behind a tree again in the Pacific Northwest? And what's Hillary doing? Vacationing on somebody else's island? Or did they go to Jeffrey Epstein's island since her husband has all access over there?
It's very, very good question. Perhaps we should ask Prince Andrew. We're talking to Cash Patel. Not only does he have fightwithcash.com to push back on the smear merchants, if you're a conservative who doesn't want to get cancelled, if you want to have your business transactions secured, your payment processing, he's got a brand new company to protect you. It's called patriots.us with a Y. That's patriots.us with a Y. Check it out. This is America First one-on-one. So I have to play. This is segment C, right, John? Okay. I just got to, you can edit this out. So I've got, I kind of conflicted here because of the massive scale of these numerous scandals that are intertwined. But I want to play one cut for you from your former boss, Devin Nunes. And guys, if you haven't read Lee Smith's book, Lee's going to be on my Newsmax show this weekend with the woman who turned it into one of the most successful, I think it beat every one of those garbage Michael Moore documentaries, The Plot Against the President. You've got to watch it. It's The Plot, patpmovie.com. You can watch it there. You can watch it at Salem Now. It's about Devin Nunes, his team fighting the good fight. And for me, this press conference is another scandal that we just do not drill down on. This is cut to play cut.
So first, I recently confirmed that on numerous occasions, the intelligence community incidentally collected information about U.S. citizens involved in the Trump transition. Details about U.S. persons associated with the incoming administration, details with little or no apparent foreign intelligence value, were widely disseminated in intelligence community reporting. Third, I have confirmed that additional names of Trump transition team members were unmasked.
To quote Dan Bongino, it's not a problem that the president was spied upon. The biggest problem is that an American citizen was spied upon illegally. And for me, this is the massive, massive scandal that we don't discuss. That according to the work that you did, that Devin did, hundreds of U.S. citizens had their identity unmasked by the last administration, which unless there is a burning national security demand, if they're, you know, literally sitting down for dinner with bin Laden, you cannot do. Can you tell me that I'm wrong here? Isn't this scandal absolutely gargantuan simply by the numbers?
You're absolutely right, Seb. You know, unmasking is a very unique tool reserved for very select few in the very highest positions of government, because our government's laws take extensive steps to protect everyday Americans, private citizens, from being surveilled. And as Devin Nunes exposed, and as we showed in our House Intelligence Report, the extensive surveilling apparatus was actually utilized for political purposes. And the unmaskings, the revelations of people's names, American citizens' names, at a rate of hundreds and hundreds per month, was so extensive that we never got to the full scale of the fraud. And the problem that we ran into when we were running this investigation was that we tried to figure out who ordered the unmaskings, but the unmasking protocols were so poor at the NSA and were so pathetic that they were basically able to check boxes and have their staff check boxes so it would never actually come back to them. We know Samantha Powers. We know Susan Rice. We know all these other people ordered so many unmaskings during the end of the Obama administration, and we know it was for political reasons. But because the paperwork trail is so poor and because the NSA didn't require extensive efforts, we will never find out who actually did it. And of course, when I asked them under oath, and I did interrogate all of them under oath, they kindly said, oh, I can't remember if I did that. Maybe it was my staff.
Well, Samantha Power, who really, she's not the director of the CIA. Yes, she's the ambassador at the United Nations. But the math is mind-numbing that this individual is supposed to be in New York, you know, diplomatic, you know, functions, is unmasking on average in the last year one American citizen per working day, correct, Cash?
You're absolutely right. That is mind-boggling. Not to say that the U.S.-UN mission is not important. It serves a very important purpose. But the unmasking of American individuals in the intelligence community is for the intelligence community, the CIA, the NSA, the FBI, the DOD. I don't think the U.S.-UN is a part of the intelligence community, but maybe I'm missing something.
And the idea that she needs to unmask U.S. citizens is absolutely... Look, and the fact that she says, oh, I didn't. Well, somebody did in your name, Samantha Powers, and that's just how corrupt the Obama administration is. And let's not forget, it was that vice president who sadly now bears the title commander-in-chief. It's not just about the president. It's not about Devin Nunes or me or Cash. It's about any American that loves this country. Just see what is happening to Mike Lindell. Let's support him. His bank has canceled 9 of his bank accounts. Use my name and Mike will give you up to 60% off. Let's show him some love. Buy whatever you want at his website so that they can't delete this man. MyPillow.com, promo code G-O-R-K-A, or call 800-829-8468. That's 800-829-8468, MyPillow.com. But you've got to use the promo code G-O-R-K-A. The big question, and maybe we can't answer it right now, Cash, is who's at the center of the spider's web? We have that shocking declassified DOJ memorandum not long before, you know, the transition, where you have Biden in the White House as vice president. Mm-hmm. You've got Obama. You've got the acting attorney general, the deputy attorney general. And you've got the sitting vice president saying, yeah, use the Logan Act against Mike Flynn. Let's trap him with the Logan Act. You've got the text messages between the FBI lovebirds saying in the text messages, as they're having affairs, both married, we briefed Obama, POTUS, yesterday, and he wants to be kept in the loop. So where does this all begin? It's easy to say, oh, Obama, you know, this is Obamagate. But, you know, I know the guy. You know, you read his memoirs. He admits to being a lazy guy. He'd prefer to be in the basement watching ESPN. I don't see him as some grand strategic, you know, Blofeld in his hollowed out volcano. Where's the mastermind of all this? Is it the guy who voted for the Communist Party before he was hired by the CIA? Is it Brennan? I see Comey as weak and doing Brennan's bidding. The fact that Papadopoulos was targeted in the UK outside of the country, does it mean that this lands at Langley? Have you got a sense of where does the gross perversion of the intelligence community really begin?
The Hillary Clinton campaign.
Yeah.
And here's why. This is a fact that most people forget. Everything you say, I agree with 100%. But here's a fact that most of the audience forgets. Remember, Brennan, as the CIA director, went to President Obama with irrefutable evidence saying that the Hillary Clinton campaign has orchestrated a scheme to try to tie Donald Trump to Russia in the hopes of transitioning the narrative from the Clinton email server scandal to one conjured up about President Trump. He, the CIA director, briefed Obama that in 2016, which means they had information, Obama CIA, that Hillary Clinton and her campaign were working these lines of efforts, i.e. the Steele dossier, i.e. the Alpha Bank server, i.e. this latest shocking revelation about infiltrating the White House. So why didn't they act sooner? But the bigger point to answer your question is, it goes back to the Hillary Clinton campaign and people wanting to be in her presidency, because of course back then it was assumed she was going to win. So they were all lining up and lining her pockets to say, I want a position in your government and I'm going to help you orchestrate this fraud, because when we win the presidency, no one's ever going to investigate us.
And what's the motivation for Brennan to take that to Obama? Is it a CYA? Is it to say, okay, this is happening, you need to know about it, Clinton's on the case? What is the possible motivation for that briefing?
So for their self-preservation purposes. So if and when it possibly came out 10 years later, because Hillary Clinton was supposed to be president, they could say, oh, well, you know, my CIA director briefed me and there was nothing to see there. Because then there would never be any revelations of the underlying documents. There would never be a Russiagate investigation.
No, because she would have won and it would have been all shredded and burnt.
Exactly. Right. So that's why they did it. in my belief. And now they've been caught not on the Steele dossier once alone, not on the Alpha Bank server twice, but three times infiltrating a sitting president. And as you said, I think, you know, I didn't say this earlier, the EEOB is six offices. The Office of the President, the Office of the Vice President, the National Security Council, the National Economic Council, the Trade Representative, and a whole bunch of logistical operations for the military. They had access to all of that, Seb?
Yeah.
That is insane.
Yeah. And for me, there's an additional smoking gun, which is kind of speaks. I mean, we know these people are arrogant, but they're also quite dumb. I mean, when you have... After, I think the timing, maybe there was a screw up on her computer's clock, but the timing of that email of Susan Rice, that she writes to all the principals after Donald Trump has been sworn in as president, for some reason she's still in the EOP, she's still in the White House, and she writes that email. Just to remind you guys, that meeting we had with the president a month ago with Obama, he did tell you that we're going to do everything by the book. I've never written an email like that at my time in the DOD or in the White House. I never had to retroactively say, it's okay, we didn't commit any crimes. Isn't that a smoking gun as well?
That's an absolute smoking gun. And we have to remind the audience who Susan Rice was.
Yes.
Remember, she's the lady who went on the world stage after Benghazi and lied about what caused the Benghazi attack, terrorist attack that killed Americans and American soldiers. She went on the world stage and knowingly, I believe, lied about it. This is the same person that wrote this CYA email because the only thing she cared about was protecting her reputation for the future so she could get a confirmation and, of course, kissing up to Obama.
Yeah. Is there any aspect of what we've covered? For me, I always, whoever I have on the show, whether it's Devin, whether it's anybody else, always want to mention the unmaskings because that's affecting hundreds of U.S. citizens being illegally targeted. Is there any other aspect of the last 5 years, whether it's Alpha Bank, whether it's the original Steele dossier, that needs to have more light shed upon it, Cash?
I think those are the top three, and Seb, I think those are the top three that have to happen when we take the gavels back in Congress this fall. They have to have an investigation into the entire Clinton campaign operation, not just Steele dossier, not just Alpha Bank, and not just the White House stuff, but the things that you outlined. And the unmasking investigation is unfinished. It was unfinished not because Devin and I didn't want to complete it, but we lost the House.
Yeah.
And then you lose the gavel and you can't control it. So that investigation has to be completed because American national security interests are there. And then, of course, I mean, how many things with Joe Biden and Ukraine and Russia, Afghanistan and Hunter Biden's art have to be investigated, but the list goes on.
Yeah, as a guy who's filled out SF-86 forms as many times as I have, if you had a close relative, who was kicked out of the military, was a drug addict, was recorded as having been in business with China's chief intelligence officer and whoring around in hotels across the country, would you still have a clearance, Cash, if that was your brother or your son?
I wouldn't have a clearance, but I guess it looks like I would have multi-million-dollar artwork, book deals, and be able to go on national TV and somehow be a hero and father children and not be responsible for them and deny I ever fathered them. I guess that those things could happen.
Yeah, there's a reason that the senile old man in the White House really can't remember the number of grandkids he has, and that's because of Hunter Biden. You've got to maintain a sense of humor because we are happy warriors. You've got to check out his website, Fight with Cash, Cash with a K, that's fightwithcash.com, and at the Epoch Times, his regular videos, which are Cash's Corner. Big last question. We could discuss this for hours, Cash. You've said in the midterms, God willing, if the American people wake up, the state of the economy, because people vote with their pocketbooks, means a trouncing of the Democrats, and then the gavels are handed over to people like Jim Jordan and others, that we have to get serious. Because for me, there is really nominal oversight. The idea that a socialist is lecturing this week at National Defense University on our dime on how America should be a socialist country means that there's no oversight of anything happening of any worth. If that happens, if we get serious oversight, if the America First team, the Freedom Caucus gets power, What else has to be done as somebody who's been inside the belly of the beast institutionally? If you look at the organogram of the swamp, I don't think the DNI thing worked out. I think Brennan has done some massive internal damage to the CIA with the restructuring and making Intel analysts almost as senior as actual operators. What would a cleaning of the swamp mean if we were serious about doing national security without politics?
Yeah, this is a great question. I mean, we could talk about this one for days, but we'd have to shrink the government agencies and remind them what their lanes are. The CIA is an intelligence collection agency.
Right.
The Department of Defense is a warfighting machine. The Food and Drug Administration is responsible for food and drugs. And people have to stay in their lanes and not collaborate with each other and expand their own footprint so they can get a bigger budget from Congress. The other thing I think Congress needs to do, and this can happen from just us winning the gavels, is, as I learned from the Russiagate investigation, finding out the truth is hard enough. You know what's harder, Seb, with the media that we have? What? You know this. Getting it out to the American public. And our Congress, when we have the gavels, has to go in there and make it easier to declassify information, make it easier to get that information to the American public and into the media, because that is what constitutional oversight is supposed to be from the members of Congress. And they should make it easier for everyday Americans to read it. It should not take 2 years for us to declassify 66 interrogations that I took at House Intel. That should be done overnight. That's just one example. But we can do that in Congress.
And we could actually be safer because of the deep state, because of bloat. We could actually be a safer nation with smaller agencies and smaller budgets if they were actually doing their job, correct?
You're absolutely right. And that's the whole point. If they focused on their mission, like the CIA shouldn't be fighting wars. They're not special forces operators, right? The Department of Defense should not be loaning out its employees to every other agency and department just so they can have some sort of access there. That's not the purpose. Those are just two examples. The FBI is an investigatory body. They are not supposed to go out and convert covert SF type operations across the world because it looks cool. You know, that's what we need to happen. We need to paint the lines in the road and build barriers and make sure that they follow them. And that starts with cabinet level officers that understand that mandate.
All right, fabulous stuff. I see an article in that, I think, for Epoch Times. Cash has to write that article, what the new national security state looks like that actually serves Americans. Such a little idea. You can quote me somewhere in it. Let's just get specific on one agency, and then I'll let you go. As a former terrorism prosecutor at the DOJ, which I consider, under the Obama years, to be the most corrupt of all agencies. When you look at what happened to the Civil Rights Division, yes, the IRS was bad, but the DOJ just became an outgrowth of the DNC. What do we do with the DOJ, and what do we do with the FBI? I don't know if I've told you this story. My listeners have heard it many, many times before. I wanted to second some of my former students to the White House to work for me on a certain IC project, and after 7 months, an action which should have taken the HR department 10 days to transfer the clearances, I was told off the record by a senior FBI agent that, Seb, you're never going to get those secondees because the seventh floor at Hoover looks at this White House as the enemy. Now, if we have the FBI that is part of the executive, look at the man chosen by 64 million Americans as the enemy, we have some deep, 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 deep rot. And I don't agree with certain conservative hosts who say, well, it's just the seventh floor and the bulk of them are good guys. Well, if that's the case, where are the whistleblowers? So, Kash Patel, what do we do about DOJ? What do we do about FBI?
You need to get the FBI to understand once again that it is a part of the Department of Justice and not its own agency. The FBI director, Seb, as you know, answers to the Deputy Attorney General, who answers to the Attorney General. That is the chain of command, nothing else. And what you need is an Attorney General, a Deputy Attorney General, and a director of the FBI that understand that. Because once you have those three people in place, and we never did under President Trump, responsible for the chain of command to focus on the priorities that the president had laid out, that's how you change it. Because once you execute orders from top to bottom, they will get held up, or they will get abided by, if you have those three positions outlined. And we just never had that, our team on the same page. And that's a start as to how you fix the Department of Justice. And you also stop the Department of Justice from politicizing the national security apparatus by focusing on phantom investigations that serve a media narrative and refocus on prosecuting criminals.
It's Cash's Corner at the Epoch Times. It's fightwithcash.com. And also, if you're a business owner who doesn't want to get canceled, it's patriots.us, patriots with a Y. Cash, are you an immigrant or just your parents?
My parents are. But
okay. So let me ask you this as an immigrant. Last question, I promise. Why do you do what you do?
Because honestly, you know, I laugh, but it's not real. I mean, check it out, Seb, and you get to relate to this. My dad fled a genocidal dictatorship in Uganda, moved west, then sat in Canada for 3 years waiting lawfully to get his American access and later American citizenship. And his son was sitting in the Oval Office on Air Force One, on Marine One, conducting national security at the highest levels. Why do I do that? Because I think serving your country that allowed your family to have that type of success in one generation is extremely important. I know that's why you do it. And it's also why else? To show others that it can be done. It's not just for the elite. And when you get guys like us in there, we know it's not for the elite, and we break that mold, and that's why they hate us. And that's why they personally attack us every day.
When you love America, they hate you. And when those people hate you, you are over the target. It's fightwithcash.com. God bless you, Cash. This is America First, one-on-one. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, keep your head on a swivel. Watch your six. Hold the line. Never give up. Never give in. And stay frosty.
Fathers brought forth upon this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death.
The world will little note or long remember what we say here, but it can never forget what they did here.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
I can hear you. The rest of the world hears you. And the people... And the people who knock these buildings down will hear all of us soon.
And we will make America great again.
This is America First with Sebastian Gorka.
You told us when it could be time to panic. Well, is it time to panic? Well, let me just tell you, folks, it's never going to be time to panic because we're never going to give up. We're not going to give up on America. I'm not. I don't think most of you are either. America's worth it. America is worth fighting for. America's worth not giving up.
It's difficult. It's difficult. Given decades of his service, I wonder if anybody's calculated the tens, the hundreds of thousands of hours that Rush Limbaugh gave us to say what the essence of Rush Limbaugh was, what his key message, his legacy to America remains. Welcome, dear friends. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First. And today is the, I still, when I heard it, when I saw Bo Snerdly, James Golden, remind us that today is the anniversary of the loss of Rush Limbaugh. I still can't quite believe it's been a year. There he is standing next to the First Lady, Melania Trump, in Congress, that fabulous moment when he received the Medal of Freedom, the highest recognition a civilian in America can obtain. But I will try to give you that one message based upon his words that we opened the show with. It's a very simple message. If you're an American, doesn't matter if you were born here, if your parents are American, if you are an American, immigrant or otherwise, there's one thing that must define you, that makes you an American. Your determination to never surrender, to never, ever give up. And this isn't just some cute little throwaway line. Put it into the context of our history as the nation with the oldest written constitution, the only nation founded on the central pillar of individual liberty, derived from the fact that we are made in the image of our Creator, God. No other nation has that. Almost every other nation of the world is an accident of history, of race, of linguistics, of tribes, or royal dynasties. Not us. We are a nation born out of freedom. The Revolutionary War wasn't the assertion of some racial, ethnic, linguistic identity in the face of somebody else. It wasn't a civil war where one part of the nation fractured off the other because we couldn't decide on who should be in control and have all the booty of that nation. Our nation was born because the leader was illegitimate, had broken his sacred vow to serve his citizens, and had usurped their rights. And the founding fathers were clear. You don't have that right. I don't care if you're King George or anybody else. You do not have that right, because every human being made in the image of God has an unalienable right to life, to liberty, and to happiness as they deem the pursuit of happiness. That is America. And look at our history since then. Yes, there have been tribulations, travails, not just fighting wars with other nations, whether it's the French, whether it's the Spanish, the British again, whether it's Prussia and the Germans or Hitler's Third Reich. How about the war against ourselves? The war to end slavery that took more lives than any other war we have ever fought combined. 600,000 Americans killed at the hands of their fellow Americans. But did it shatter us? Were we unable to recover? No. Through it, thanks to the leadership of Abraham Lincoln, the great emancipator, and then later through the bravery of unelected Americans who fought for the truth, like the Reverend Martin Luther King, we arrived at that place, that ever more perfected union, where equality was achieved, where we weren't judged by our skin color, but by the content of our character, where there would be equality before the law and Lady Justice wore a blindfold. That's America. And that's unique, truly unique. I could list you other countries that are benighted, that are seemingly cursed, that are broken forever. From Haiti to Afghanistan, from Somalia to Russia. Nations that have deep, deep psychological fissures in the identity of the people who live there. Nations where there is no dream that applies to the people of that country. Think of the phrase, the American dream. Why is there no other nation that has a similar analog? The Swiss dream, the Belgian dream, the Armenian dream. It doesn't exist. That's why people risk everything. Why people build rafts out of oil drums to cross shark-infested waters from communist Cuba to come to Miami. No other nation is a magnet for those who want to breathe free air. Only America. And perhaps, if I may, if I may be so outrageously bold, that is the greatest legacy the late, great Rush Limbaugh left us. Because I don't care who you are. I don't care where you live in America. I don't care who your mom was. I don't care who your dad was. It's never time to despair. There is no excuse. We never, ever surrender, because that is un-American. We are happy warriors for the truth. Why? Because our nation is founded in recognizing that truth. Because our founding document has the word Creator with a capital C in it. We are linked intrinsically forever to God, to our Creator, and our nation was founded by Christians. Not some group of lucky deists, as some would have you believe. No, men of God, men who prayed, men who believed and understood that they were fighting for freedom that is linked to God, who gave us that freedom. No government, no man, God. Rest in peace, Rush Limbaugh. This is America First. Make sure you are subscribed to the podcast. We have quite the show for you today.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.